Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
Well, at the end of our visit, we had seen about 56 out of the 114 houses in Dominica. The surprising and beautiful thing is that there were no deaths in Good News Project houses. Some people stayed in the house and lived through the storm, and the house did too. Others bailed out, and the house shredded and disappeared in the wind. But nobody was killed or even injured, as far as we know.
This is my island in the sun, where my people have toiled since time begun. I may sail on any sea, the shores will always be home to me. Oh, island in the sun, will to me by my father's hand. All my days I will sing in praise of your forests, waters, your shining sand.
The voice of Chuck McCarthy of Central Wisconsin's Good News Project and the music of Harry Belafonte. Getting us underway today on Route 51 as we focus on one particular island in the sun, Dominica, a 289-square-mile nation in the Caribbean Sea, northernmost of the Windward Islands and devastated by the Category 5 hurricane winds of Maria on September 18th. I'm Glenn Moberg. We don't hear too much about the effects of that hurricane and the other monster storms that ripped through the region last fall. The 24-hour cable networks have moved on, and the continuing efforts and effects of climate change have been deemed less newsworthy than the latest scandals coming from Washington. But the Prime Minister of Dominica, Roosevelt Skerrett, does not have the luxury of being able to change the subject. In his words before the United Nations, "The stars have fallen, Eden is broken." And he said to deny climate change is to mock thousands of my compatriots who suffered and died in the Category 5 winds. 90% of the buildings on Dominica were destroyed or damaged. A number of them were constructed by the Good News Project, an organization that not only builds houses, but builds communities both locally and internationally. About a dozen workers from the organization will be returning to Dominica in April to help the islanders rebuild from the storm. Our guests today are Christine Daniels, the executive director of the Good News Project, Good News co-founder Chuck McCarthy, and Pat Peckham, a former Good News Advisory Board member and a volunteer who has made several trips to the island. We'd like to hear from you as well. You can give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on our webpage, wpr.org/route51, and I'll read it live on the air. Chuck, Christine, and Patrick, thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning.
Chuck, let's start with you. You've been to Dominica a number of times. You returned there only about a month after the hurricane hit. What did you see? How did that island change overnight from that Category 5 storm?
I wasn't there the day before, but when I pulled in a month after the storm had devastated the island, we arrived by ferry because we couldn't get air transport into the island. So we flew to St. Lucia, and then we rode about 100 miles on a hydrofoil ferry boat in very rough water. And we pulled into the main, the capital of Dominica, to Roseau. And there was a bunch of buildings with blue tarp roofs and a bunch of buildings with no roofs at all. And there was rubble everywhere. The streets were just clogged with debris. They had pushed all the mud out of the way so you could at least walk down the street. You could drive down some of the streets. But it was just a shock to see a whole area demolished at the same time.
Guadi Oso Itak was a survivor of the hurricane. She was quoted in the press. That night, she said, "The waves were higher than the houses, higher even than the coconut trees. By morning, there was nothing left of my neighbor's home on the seafront. Not even a scrap of furniture. She was gone, and so was the house. The sea took it all."
Mm-hmm. I think that was a common story. Anybody that lived along, certainly on the East Coast particularly, could have been swept away. Yeah.
And I've seen the pictures of cars and trucks upside down, piled up, pushed against walls. The wall of water that Category 5 storm created must have been must have been biblical in proportions.
It was strange to drive through the country a month later and you see what looks like a harmless little stream, but for 100 yards on either side of it, there's piles of rocks the size of a Volkswagen and mud and vehicles and trees. And you say, how is that possible? This little stream couldn't have done that, but it did.
Just a few days before Maria, Dominica had been hit by Hurricane Irma. Mm-hmm. So it was a 1-2 punch, and the island was still recovering from Tropical Storm Erica, which hit back in 2015.
Yes. We were there in 2015 also. We went down not long after that happened and visited some of the same areas where we had built houses and where houses had been swept away. They lost a whole village at that time in 2015. Roosevelt Skerritt moved a village. Rebuilt it in a different part of the island afterwards.
And that of course, is the prime minister. How did all those houses that you built, there are dozens of them, how did they stand up to the 160-mile-per-hour winds?
Well, it's a wide variety. Some of them were untouched, and some were just demolished and were no longer there. Some pulled up foundation work from out of the soil. The ones that were built on wooden posts particularly, they just pulled up the post and the whole house took flight. Those that were on cement foundations, sometimes the house shredded, left the foundation behind, and the house took off. And others stood there and you wonder, well, how is that possible? You know, and 200 yards away there's houses that are gone and this one looks fine. And
well, in a video you posted on YouTube, you show people cooking outside and bathing in a river. There was no electricity or water.
That's still true.
And that's still true. They still haven't haven't reconnected the basic necessities for life on that island.
It's not an easy thing to do in a very, very hilly climate or a very hilly geography. There's no such thing as a flat and level road in the whole darn country unless you're right at the airport. Everything else is on a hillside.
Well, Christine Daniels, tell us about the trip to Dominica that Good News has planned for April.
Sure. Well, January and February are traditionally our international service trip months. So, you know, right now we are finishing up 6 weeks in St. Lucia. Normally this time of year we would have volunteers already finished up in Dominica, having already built five houses. Because of the lack of communication and the lack of electricity and not being certain of potable water and not wanting to add extra stress already on the resources there, we did not send volunteers in January. But we have had enough contacts with locals over the last month or so to feel confident that we can house them with a place that has a roof, that we can feed them, give them safe water, and access to communication. So we are sending a group of volunteers April 9th to the 23rd, and we are able to get them in with air flights all the way in. They don't have to ferry at this point. And we still can use a couple carpenters. Right now we have 3 people from Wausau, 4 from St. Germain, and 2 from Lakeville, Minnesota.
So if people are interested in doing this, they still have time to volunteer with your organization.
You bet. We can still get them in there and get their flights and get them
What do they have to do?
Basically call our office. We can have a conversation about what the trip would look like. It really depends on, you know, where people are calling from. We connect them with a local travel agent who knows what day and what afternoon we want to get them into the country and then back out of the country. And we just coordinate with our local folks in Dominica.
You can give the phone number over the air if you want.
Sure. It's 715-843-5985.
843-5985.
Correct.
And I guess an equally important question is, what can the people who volunteer expect? What do you expect them to do? What do they have to do in order to be a part of this organization for those 2 weeks?
That's a great question. And I try to tell volunteers to be as open as possible because there are going to be some unknowns in this trip. For the most part, we are planning on building new, and our focus is getting people out of shelters. So we have a local committee in Dominica. It is headed up by a woman named Angelica Pierre-Louis, and she gathers the people. We have a very wonderful crew of about 40 people who have helped us over the years in the Villacas, northern Dominica area. And they are the ones who are, you know, identifying the people in the shelters and making sure the foundations are in. So when our volunteers are on the island for 2 weeks, they will be building new. Prior to that, the local committee is assessing damages for repairs. And so we are sending, we are doing lumber orders and sending materials for them to do repairs with money that we have fundraised.
And what's it going to cost somebody to go there with you if they're interested in it?
Sure. Right now it's about $850 participation fee. That is for room and board. And then they have to take care of their airfare as well. So that's in addition
to it. Do you book the airfare for them, or is that something that the individual has to worry about?
We just connect them with our travel agent. And they work with her.
So you're looking at what, about $2,800, $3,000?
Not even, okay. Yeah, about $2,200.
About $2,200, okay. And you mentioned that you worked with and have been working with a number of local people. How did they make it through this storm? Did they all survive? Were they injured?
You know, there was one death of a volunteer that we know of. That happened after. I think it was more just the stress of it all, because it was maybe 2 days later that he had passed, and we had received pictures of the gravesite and of the man. Chuck could actually speak more to volunteers and their housing and what he discovered. We are trying to make these people a priority in terms of repairs, because these are folks who have worked alongside of us for 28
Chuck,
years.
How did they make it through?
I'm thinking of the village of Castle Bruce, which is the southeastern portion of the island, a little fishing village. And we've worked there for probably 15 years. We've been sending people there. And we've always stayed with the same man who runs a little guest house. And this time, before the trip in October, I tried to call him. I couldn't call him. I couldn't call anybody in the village. We finally talked to a woman from the village who worked in the capital. And she said, well, I'll check with him to see if you can stay there. So she called back the next day, and she said, yep, you can stay there. So, okay. So we just showed up without ever having talked to the man, and he had his house ready to go. He had hauled water in so we could bathe and flush a toilet. He had had people carry water in, and he had bottled water, and he had no refrigerator, but he had some food so he could cook a breakfast for us. And he said, well, I knew you'd come, even though we hadn't talked to him. He said, you did in 2015, and I knew you'd be here. So he got ready.
So the volunteers are ready for you, and now you've got to be ready for them. Pat Peckham, you've gone to a number of the islands. You've gone to Dominica several times as well?
Yeah, this will be the third trip.
What are the people like in Dominica? How resilient are they? How do you think they're going to come through from this tragedy?
I think they get by with less and do more with less than we're ever used to. And I think they're, you know, going to tough it out. Castle Bruce was actually the community where I thought I was going to be going January 4th, and that trip had to be postponed. But they have running water now, but no electricity. They on the island, they're prioritizing the larger community. So Castle Bruce is down the list, and they'll get to them sooner or later. But
why do you keep going back?
I just find it very fulfilling. It's nice. It's, you know, you don't go down there really for a vacation unless you consider helping other people a vacation. But you go down and you're present on the island for about 12 days, 12 or 13 days, and you work 10 of those days. At least, and if you can clear out the weekend in between the two work weeks, usually able to go on some hikes or maybe get out on a boat or something.
See some of the island.
Yeah.
You also help the local people on the island set up small businesses. You call them miniature enterprises, making wooden pens and bottle stoppers for the tourist trade. Tell us about that.
Tried that on several islands, and it takes we tried to do it within the school system so that we could have young people learn a skill where they could make something marketable and consider how to sell it and keep track of inventory and take orders and serve customers and all that stuff. And the teaching staff down there is so strapped for time that I think one of the four that I've attempted to start is kind of still struggling along, but it's a tough one. But I was able to go down, and Good News provided the equipment to get started and the inventory of kits that they would need.
Mm-hmm.
And the students made them. And the only time I was able to have access to the students usually was after school. So the pitch was I would go in on the first day and say I would have an opportunity for you to make wooden pens and pencils and bottle stoppers, and all you need to do is stay after school for 2 hours every day for the next 2 weeks. And they jumped on it.
Now, you also make wooden pens for sale in retail stores around the Wausau area. Did your own business doing that provide kind of a template for what you're trying to teach the folks in these Caribbean islands?
Yeah, I thought if I could do it with the market here, that they had tourists coming past, especially in Dominica. There's a kind of a tourist bus route that goes right past one of the communities that's served by the secondary school where I was working. And I thought that'd be an excellent place to sell items.
Well, today on Route 51, we're talking to three members of Central Wisconsin's Good News Project about their upcoming trip to the hurricane-ravaged island of Dominica. Christine Daniels is the group's executive director. Chuck McCarthy is the co-founder. Pat Peckham is a volunteer and former member of the advisory board. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 webpage, WPR.org/Route 51. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to hear part of the riveting address by the Prime Minister of Dominica, Roosevelt Skerrett, before the General Assembly of the United Nations. President Skerrett spoke just a few days after Hurricane Maria hit the island nation. Here's Pernell Roberts.
They call the wind Mariah. Mariah blows the stars around and sends the clouds a-flying. Mariah makes the mountain sound like folks up there was dying. Mariah.
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 They call.
John Sebastian and the Esso Trinidad Steel Drum Band taking us into our next segment of Route 51 with Christine Daniels, Chuck McCarthy, and Pat Peckham of the Good News Project talking about their upcoming trip to Dominica. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on our website, WPR.org/Route 51, and I'll read it live on the air. Dominica is known as the nature island of the Caribbean. It has rainforests, dozens of waterfalls, something like six volcanoes, mountains, an incredible 365 rivers. Tell us your impressions of the place. Pat, why don't we start with you?
One of the things when you land and drive around, you really don't get a sense of it because the roads are all every which way, and it takes a long time to get from one part of the island to the other. But the whole thing is so small that it's funny to even think of it as an island. Five of them would fit in Marathon County. But it is very nice. It does have climate variation. If you go up high, it's more rainforesty. Down low, it's drier.
Unlike some of the island vacation spots that we're used to, like the Bahamas, this is not flat. It's got a very
hilly and very rocky. It doesn't have sweeping, you know, white sand beaches, but it is very, you know, it's the nature isle. So,
Christine Daniels, your impression of Dominica?
Very lush. Not as busy as St. Lucia or St. Vincent, which Good News Project also travels to.
And those are all part of the Windward Island chain, correct?
Correct, yeah. We've been in Dominica for 28 years, but I know the Pirates of the Caribbean were the footage came from Dominica. So
really?
You see some of those scenes of the gorgeous greenery in the mountains. That's right out of Dominica.
Chuck McCarthy?
I don't see the place so much anymore as I see the people. And when I walk into Dominica, the first question I get is, where's Peggy? Because they're used to seeing the two
right.
of us together. And the next question is Grace with you? And that's Gracie Miller from Wausau. And they expect her to be part of the picture. And people that we meet now, sometimes I say, well, I knew this guy's father, or I knew his family. And Gracie can tell you, well, this is the person we built the house for initially, but she died, and now so-and-so lives there. And across the street is, you know, Uncle so-and-so. She knows the whole doggone village by name, and they all know Gracie Miller.
Well, as the nature island, ecotourism is a pretty big thing for the island. Is that not correct?
It's much different than sandals in St. Lucia. You know, the big multi-story hotels with 400 employees, for the most part, don't exist in Dominica. They're little guest houses. They have a beautiful walking path. You can spend days on a path that'll stop at a guest house each evening. But in the daytime, you're walking in the woods. You know?
Yeah. I like to say that Dominica is for travelers and St. Lucia is for tourists, because you have to be a traveler and know your way around and be willing to maybe, you know, have a meal late because you couldn't find a place open. It's not, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken on every corner. You're not going to find that at all.
Well, that can be a good thing, can't it?
It's great, yeah. It really teaches you, you know, that you just have to be ready.
And they have a boiling lake.
Yeah, I guess. I haven't hiked up to see it, but I guess it's there. I've seen pictures.
You know, the ecosystem was dealt a severe blow by Maria. In the words of Janice Eli, she was writing in The Guardian, here's a quote from her. In a few short hours between sundown and sunrise, the nature island was reduced to rubble, lurching from tropical paradise with a burgeoning ecotourism sector to abject poverty and ruin in a single night. Christine.
When you say that, it makes me think of the picture that Angelica Pierre-Louise sent to me maybe about a month ago, and it was of a flowering, leafy plant on her back porch, and she says, it's growing back. So, you know, it's not only beautiful for tourists, but for the local people, they really acknowledge and think that their homeland is beautiful.
Well, the island depends on ecotourism to a large extent, and its economic livelihood and its very existence, ironically, was threatened by a changing environment that even the nature island isn't protected from. The Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett has been outspoken about the problem of climate change and harshly critical of Western nations that he claims are creating the problem and refusing to do anything about it. He had a moving and riveting speech to the United Nations General Assembly just days after Hurricane Maria. So let's listen to Roosevelt Skerrett. He's the Prime Minister of Dominica.
Mr. President, warmer air and sea temperatures have permanently altered the climate between the tropics of Cancer and Capricorn. Heat is the fuel that takes ordinary storms and supercharges them into a devastating force. In the past, we would prepare for one heavy storm a year. Now, thousands of storms form on a breeze in the mid-Atlantic and line up to pound us with maximum force and fury. Before this century, no other generation had seen more than one Category 5 hurricane in their lifetime. In this century, this has happened twice, and notably, it has happened in the space of just 2 weeks. Mr. President, to deny climate change is to procrastinate while the earth sinks. It is to deny a truth we have just lived. It is to mock thousands of my compatriots who, in a few hours, without a roof over their heads, will watch the night descend on Dominica in fear of sudden mudslides and what the next hurricane may bring. We in the Caribbean do not produce greenhouse gases or sulfate aerosols. We do not pollute or overfish our oceans. We have made no contribution to global warming that can move the needle. But yet, we are among the main victims on the front line. As Dominicans bear the brunt of climate change, I repeat, we are shouldering the consequences of the actions of others, actions that endanger our very existence, and all for the enrichment of a few elsewhere. Mr. President, we dug graves today in Dominica. We buried loved ones yesterday. Our homes are flattened. Our buildings roofless. Our water pipes smashed and road infrastructure destroyed. Our hospital is without power, and schools have disappeared beneath the rubble. Our crops are uprooted. Where there was green, there is now only dust and dirt. The desolation is beyond imagination. Mr. President, fellow leaders, the stars have fallen. Eden is broken.
That is Roosevelt Skerrett, the Prime Minister of Dominica, speaking before the United Nations just days after his island was hit by a Category 5 hurricane. I'm Glenn Moberg. You're listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. If you just joined us, we're talking to three members of the Good News Project who will be traveling to Dominica to help the people rebuild. Chuck McCarthy, Christine Daniels, and Pat Peckham. We'd like to hear from you. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 webpage, wpr.org/route51, and I will read it live on the air. Eden is broken and the stars have fallen. Your reaction to the Prime Minister's words. Christine, let's start with you.
Sure. You know, I listened to that speech at least three times within the week after the hurricane hit. We weren't hearing anything else coming out of the island, and I had a physical reaction to the hurricane hitting Dominica because I knew people there. And my stomach was just overturned. And so hearing anything coming out of the country was very important. It took weeks, really, to hear anything. At one point, Angelica ended up getting over to Barbados, and we were able to communicate back and forth through WhatsApp, which has become a very useful tool in communicating with the Caribbean. And, you know, over time, even every 24 hours, something new would come up, new information that we would learn about people who were alive, people who were okay, you know, their families, what their needs were, both in the clinics and the hospitals. We ended up making some really interesting connections after this hurricane, though, that have really challenged me as the director of the organization.
In what way?
Well, I connected with a gentleman out on the East Coast, and he's an entrepreneur who has lived off the grid before and is really interested in helping with the whole revitalization and you know, creating a sustainable new country for Dominica. He just returned from his third trip there. And he's trying to help people create small businesses. And because right now a lot of people are out of work. You know, the Ross University, which is a medical school, has closed down. And that brought tons of work and tons of students, you know, into the country. But he's talking about, you know, what if we had portable sawmills and people could reuse this lumber that's just laying around in rubble piles right now? You know, instead of looking at it as garbage, let's look at this as a unique opportunity.
Well, reuse and recycling, that's something that Good News does, and it's something that I'm sure the folks on Dominica are doing as well. Pat Peckham, Roosevelt Skerritt said, "We on the islands do not produce greenhouse gases. We don't contribute to global warming, but we suffer from it." And to quote him again, "We're shouldering the consequences of the actions of other nations that threaten our very existence, and all for the profit of those from elsewhere."
I don't know. I just found his remarks very eloquent. I just listened to him for the first time yesterday. And, you know, he's living that, and I'm sure he sincerely believes they don't make zero contribution to greenhouse gases, but they do have a lot of open fires and stuff like that, so not 100% on that. But they don't have, you know, manufacturing and industry like, you know, big companies, big countries do.
You know, one of the reasons that I wanted to do this show, Chuck McCarthy, is we hear nothing about Dominica on the 24-hour cable news channels anymore. We don't hear anything about the Virgin Islands. We don't hear anything about Puerto Rico, which was also hit by those storms. The media, I think the argument could be made, is doing a lousy job covering the ongoing struggles of the people who have been who are suffering from these hurricanes. And even Puerto Rico, a large island with a significant population of American citizens, there are no reporters there.
No, of course not. You can listen to a Dominica online radio station any day of the week and hear pretty contemporary news there. When I listen to Roosevelt Skerritt, I find myself wondering, who is he talking to? He's a very skilled politician. And just a week ago, a man sent me a notice saying that the Clinton Foundation had convened a meeting in Florida to talk about doing something in the Caribbean and in Dominica particularly. And last week, Bill Clinton showed up in Dominica for a day. So, you know, Roosevelt Skerritt knows who he's talking to when he's talking at the UN. He's not expecting Donald Trump to all of a sudden get excited about helping out Dominica, but he knows there's an audience there of people that may be motivated.
Now, Trump hasn't exactly embraced the science of climate change, and in fact, his proposed budget would slash the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration by more than $1 billion next year. That includes the National Weather Service, which would lose 355 jobs, including 248 forecasting positions, and that, Pat Peckham, after one of the worst hurricane seasons on record.
That doesn't make much sense, does it? I don't know. I think that, you know, we're going to swing back and see that we need those things. I mean, just for like maritime safety and stuff like that, you need to know what the weather's doing. So, you know, maybe Congress will steer that back in the right direction.
Well, Chuck McCarthy, in a blog on the Good News website, you wrote about the Prime Minister's vision of a climate resilient nation. What do you think he meant by that, and will it change what you folks are doing with Good News Project when you go back down there?
I tend to be pretty cynical about political language in general. And when they come up with a flowery phrase like that, I wonder how it's going to be converted into nuts and bolts. I mean, it sounds wonderful. You're going to build climate-resistant nation. Well, what are you going to do tomorrow towards that? That's the key thing. We spent the days looking at demolished houses and saying, well, you know, if we use a different kind of a connector here between part A and part B of a house, maybe it would be a little stronger. I can understand building at that level. But when you talk about climate-resistant nations, I don't know what he's talking about, really.
Well, one of the quotes from your blog was, do we build dozens of houses that will blow away in the next hurricane or a few sturdy shelters that might protect many in the next storm? And then you say nobody wants to live in a storm shelter, and you ask the question, can we design and build more resilient single-family homes at a reasonable cost?
That's exactly the advice we got from the people there. They said, you're doing a great job. Your houses are strong. They see them as a model of strength. Don't quit doing what you're doing.
Yeah, one of the things that had to be decided as we were planning this trip, and I'm just kind of doing what I'm told here by those who are more in the know than I am, but I assumed that when we went down that a lot of what we would be doing would be to fix up housing, but I guess there are a number of people who are still in shelters who need a place of any kind, so that's where our emphasis is going to be. We'll probably sneak in some repairs, too, as we can, but the main thing is going to be to build new houses and get people out of shelters.
One of the things that we've done, too, you know, we have been in St. Lucia the last 6 weeks, and we've had head carpenters who have, you know, are aware of some of these changes coming down the pike.
And St. Lucia got hit, too, but not quite as bad as Dominica.
Yeah. They didn't really get hit with these last two hurricanes to, you know, any degree that would really disrupt things, other than maybe some roads going out.
Have they been hit by previous hurricanes?
They have.
And you've had experience working to help the folks rebuild at those in those instances,
definitely.
Correct?
Hurricane Tomas hit in 2010, and prior to that, we only had a volunteer presence in the northern end of the island, and in the Soufriere, St. Jacques area, they were hit pretty severely. So we started up a new group down there, and they have been rebuilding ever since. So the last eight years.
So you've got some experience helping folks rebuild from hurricanes. And I noticed also that you sent volunteers to Lumberton, North Carolina in March of 2017 to help with the cleanup of Hurricane Matthew. So you're not just sending people out to different nations on an international basis. You're dealing with problems right here in the United States of America.
Definitely. That was a result of at the end of 2016, our board of directors decided, because of the presence of Zika and all of the unknowns of the Zika virus, that we weren't willing to put volunteers into that situation without knowing more. So we did not send international volunteers in 2017. So we were kind of looking at what could we do instead? How can we continue to engage volunteers and keep along the same theme, and that's what we ended up doing is Peg and Chuck did a little discovery trip down in Lumberton, North Carolina, and we set up shop for 2 weeks, and we're actually going back in mid-March this year.
So there's more work to be done there.
Definitely.
And just some statistics of the last hurricane season before we move on to our next break. Maria was the 13th named storm, the 8th consecutive hurricane, the 4th major hurricane, the 2nd Category 5 hurricane, and the deadliest storm of the 2017 Atlantic hurricane season. Today on Route 51, we're talking to three members of Central Wisconsin's Good News Project about their upcoming trip to the hurricane-ravaged island of Dominica. Christine Daniels is the group's executive director. Chuck McCarthy is a co-founder. And Pat Peckham is a volunteer and former member of the advisory board. I'm Glenn Moberg. Again, we can squeeze in some phone calls if you'd like to join the conversation. 1-800-780-9742. 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 webpage, wpr.org/route51. We're going to take a short break. Here's some music by Luke Combs.
Well, the wind is blowing harder now, 50 knots or thereabouts. There's white caps on the ocean, and I'm watching for water spouts. It's time to close the shutters. It's time to go inside.
Jimmy Buffett with his song Trying to Reason with Hurricane Season, taking us into our next segment of Route 51 with Christine Daniels, Chuck McCarthy, and Pat Peckham of the Good News Project, talking about their upcoming trip to the island of Dominica. They're heading there in April to help its people rebuild from Hurricane Maria. I'm Glenn Moberg. That number again, 1-800-780-9742, if you'd like to join the conversation. Chuck McCarthy, it's been 35 years. Why did you found the Good News Project? What led you to do that? What experiences specifically decided, you know, made you decide to put all this into place?
It's one of those accidental things. I have a brother who's a priest physician who was working in St. Lucia. Peg and I went down to visit St. Lucia and to visit him. Met a bunch of people we liked. Then we returned a year later with some musician friends. Met a bunch more people, and again they said, "Well, why don't you come back?" And people here said, "I'd like to do that, but I'm not a physician and I'm not a musician. What would I do?" We said, "Well, we'll figure that out, and we'll find a way to use your talents, whatever they are."
So you found another way to serve the people of the island. You work primarily in the Windward Islands of the Caribbean. That's St. Vincent, St. Lucia, and Dominica. Christine, why are you picking those three islands? There are a lot of places in the Caribbean that suffer from abject poverty.
Oh, they were picked before I came around. I've been with Good News for 18 years. But after they started going to St. Lucia, we had a lot of connections actually with the sisters and priests from those different islands, because they tend to hop around and be placed in different countries, you know, within a couple of years. And so some who had been once in St. Lucia had been transferred to St. Vincent, and then they said, "Oh, you know, we could really use your help over here too. Could Good News come and maybe bring some volunteers here?" And then the same thing happened in Dominica.
And Pat Peckham, it's a different environment when you go to these islands. What's it like living there if people want to volunteer for this trip in April?
First time I went, I thought maybe they were sending me to a little jungle village with thatched huts and a dirt clearing out in the middle. I didn't know what I was getting into, but we flew into a modern airport and, you know, went on twisty little roads riding in the back of a pickup truck. But you stay right in the community. You aren't insulated from the residents of the community, and you get to know them. They know you. You go to church, they stand up and applaud, and you are right on the street, and you're living, if you're Castle Bruce, and I'm imagining that where we stay in this other community, Portsmouth, is going to be similar in Castle Bruce. It's a converted home with a little bitty sign out in front that said, you know, Tapa's Guest House, and you sit, you know, almost literally right on the street, mm-hmm. and there, you know, not very many people own cars, so there's a lot of people going by, and some of the longtime volunteers like Grace Miller know everybody, so she's shouting at, you know, this person and that person and people
from
the village.
You're right in the street, right in the communities with the people.
You are in it.
This isn't like a Sandals vacation where they isolate you from everyone behind walls and allow you to enjoy the tropical sunshine.
You are right in there.
Those islands were all under British or French rule until they gained their independence less than 50 years ago. Chuck McCarthy, do you think colonialism was a good or bad thing for these islands, and are they still impacted by it?
They still talk about it, and they certainly the black-white mixture gets talked about a lot more there than it does here, even because of the history of colonialism. But I mean, they're very proud of their independence now. That's a big, big event for them.
And they no longer have protected European markets like they once did. So they're a little more susceptible to the whims of the global economy.
Absolutely. It took a tremendous toll on the banana market particularly.
What are the medical facilities like on Dominica, and what did it mean when that hurricane struck and the hospital was without power right when they needed it the most?
They have medical staffs of well-trained people operating in a facility under the best of circumstances with poor equipment and outdated equipment a lot of times. But you can't run a hospital without power and without lights, and you know it becomes a disaster rather than a help to people.
Well, you've got a 35th anniversary for Good News coming up. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
Christine is the planner. But we're putting together an event for next summer. It is a celebration for us, for Peg and me, and for everybody else involved.
Christine?
We actually have a couple people from Dominica coming up for our 35th. It is it's May 26th. It's on a Saturday, and volunteers and donors and their families are welcome, or people who are interested perhaps in learning more and wanting to travel. But we have Angelica is coming up along with another committee member, Matthias.
So we'll be able to meet some of the folks that you work with down
yes.
there. And again, if people want to volunteer, it's in the middle of April, and you said, what, about $2,200 total expense
total.
For the two
yep.
weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And again, what do they have to do?
Just give us a
carpenters?
Call at the office, 715-843-5985. You can speak with myself or Megan, and we'll get you hooked up. But we would love some additional carpenters.
And Pat Peckham, why should people volunteer? Why should they do it? Why do you do it?
It really gives you a different perspective on, you know, where the United States fits in the world, and that we really do need to reach out and help some other communities, you know, other countries.
And Chuck McCarthy, what keeps you going? And if you could give a shout out to the volunteers and convince people to join you on this or subsequent trips, what would you say to them?
People in the Caribbean meet a lot of tourists who say, oh, this is a beautiful place, you know, I'm going to come back. And they take that with a grain of salt. But when you do come back the second time and the third time and the tenth time, it takes on the feeling of a family reunion. And we've all experienced that. It's a wonderful feeling.
And what have you gained out of it personally?
I bought a big family in several different countries in the Caribbean.
I want to thank all of you for being with us today. Thanks so much. We're not done yet. We want to thank today's guests, Christine Daniels, the executive director of the Good News Project, Good News co-founder Chuck McCarthy, and Pat Peckham. He's a volunteer and member of the Good News Advisory Board. You can find out more about the Good News Project at goodnewswi.com. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Janice Schleiss. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Willie Dixon, Harry Belafonte, Pernell Roberts, John Sebastian, and the Esso Trinidad Steel Drum Band, Luke Combs, Jimmy Buffett, and Bob Marley and the Wailers. If you missed part of this show, you can hear it again Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau. You can also download it at wpr.org/Route 51. Be sure to listen to our newest Ideas Network station, 101.3 FM Wausau. And thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.